Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. It is the 28th of March and it is also Palm Sunday. So welcome to our Palm Sunday worship. It's wonderful to see so many of you here this morning. As we are entering Holy Week, there are a few announcements, and also, as I think many of you will already have heard through the newsletter, we are going to be reopening the church building for public worship. And that is wonderful, but it also has still quite a few restrictions on it. So the first public worship service in the church building will be on Easter Sunday in the afternoon at 2 p.m. And what we're going to do is we will do the normal 11 o'clock Zoom service, which will be a communion service for Easter Sunday, because it's the first Sunday in the month. But we will then do the same service, except the communion part, in the church at 2 p.m. So come to one or the other, but not both, because it will be the same. We are going to have a booking system for worship in the church because our seating is very limited. If any of you have were in when we were open in December, the chairs are all 2 meters apart. If people are coming in a household group, then that might allow us to squeeze in one or two extras, but we would need to know about that in advance. So please, if you would like to come, please do phone me or email me. Don't think, "Oh, I can't go because I want to let other people come." We will definitely be giving priority to those who can't connect through Zoom and who haven't been able to do that. So if you put your name down, it's with the caveat that we might have to say, "Sorry, there's not space for you this time," but we promise that we will do that. So it's safe to put your name on the list, knowing that you will not be disadvantaging anyone else by doing that, because we'd really like to fill every seat that we're allowed to have if we're going to go ahead and do this. So thanks to those of you who've already been in touch. That's great. And I look forward to seeing some of you face to face on Easter Sunday. Then we'll do the same thing again on Sunday the 2nd of May, which is a month later. And hopefully after that we'll have done some experimenting, perhaps as Isabel suggested, or in other ways, to see what we can do towards something a bit different. We'll see how we get on. So that's the church building. This coming week, being Holy Week, we have a Maundy Thursday communion service, and that will be on Zoom, and the link for that went out this week. So if you didn't get it, please get in touch and we'll make sure that you have that. This communion service is going to be joint with Bankry East Church, Bankry West Church, Dromoke Darris Church, and Mid Deeside Church, and us. And if you plan to come along to that service, it's a communion service, so please have your elements for communion ready. And also, if you would like to set the table as if you were having a guest to dinner, and that will become clear at service. That's optional, so you're still allowed to come even if you don't want to do that. For Good Friday this year, we're going to have some online reflections. I am hoping to have the link for all of that by tomorrow, so we'll get it out on the website and on the Facebook page and by email as soon as we can. Just waiting to, and then Andrew's just sent a message in the chat that you can have a look at. So that's Good Friday. In addition to all of those things, the moderator is offering a short reflection every day from today through to next Sunday, and that is available on all of the Church of Scotland digital platforms. So it's on the Church of Scotland website. If you follow the Church of Scotland on Facebook or any other social media, you can watch it there. There's also a phone number for that, which went out in the newsletter a few weeks ago for those who don't have access to digital things. That was a lot of stuff. It was all written down in the newsletter. Please get in touch if you have any questions, because I know that's a lot of information. The other thing to say is that thank you very much to Kerry Hendrickson. We have 30 little craft bags with Easter gifts for the children at Fingon Primary and Balogie Nursery that we're going to be giving out this week. And Kerry put those together. We also had some donations of some amazing Easter bonnets from Anne Horsfall. And these are going out as an Easter gift from our church to the local kids. So thank you very much for putting that together, Kerry, that we've had a really great response from parents and people are really happy about that. So that is a lovely thing that we're able to do for Easter this week. We are not just here to do announcements. We are here to worship. We're here to be together in community, to attend to the God who loves us, who invites us into worship. So let's worship God together. Our first song today is "All Glory, Lord, and Honor." Let's sing together. We are going to go into some small groups now for a quick chat. So the magic of Zoom will automatically put you into a little group. And as usual, the question is, how are you? And have a few minutes to catch up with each other and have a chat. And then we will all come back together and continue with our service. So just give me a sec and I will get all of that set up and going. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Living God, thank you that you know and understand us and all human beings. As we prepare once again to walk through Holy Week, may we listen to our own hearts and notice which parts of the story are especially touching to our hearts this year. Thank you that your word is living, not frozen in history, but alive. Ancient stories revealing present truths. You know what we need to hear this Holy Week. Whether we need to hear the challenging aspects or the reassurance and support. You work in the layers within us we nowadays call unconscious. We trust you to work in us so that this Easter we might find more of your life welling up from within our own being. As we observe again the sacrifice of Jesus, his willingness to live with the effects of the violence and hate of human beings to the point of death, help us to know that this act in history points to an eternal truth of God always willing to forgive, to give people a chance to begin again, and to free us from all the things we regret, mistakes we have made, inadequacies that we struggle with. Help us to take seriously that, like the crowds around Jesus, we too can be fickle and sometimes unintentionally allow ourselves to be dragged along by the views and thoughts of others without noticing that we are joining in with consequences that lead to death and not to life. Forgive us. Reveal to us our attitudes that are not life-giving. For you are always calling us on a path of greater self-discovery, of greater clarity about who you have made us to be and what our purpose is. As we walk alongside Jesus, facing the consequences of his call, illuminate your will for us and what new life you are calling us to live. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Andrew to unmute himself, and Andrew has our Bible reading for us today. Thanks, Andrew.
I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 12, 1 to 11, the parable of the tenants. Jesus then began to speak
Sorry,
to them in
Andrew.
parables.
Sorry, Andrew. It's chapter 11. Did I send it to you wrong?
Well, give me a second. It was probably me. Can you give me a minute?
Yeah. Did you print it out?
I printed out, so give me just a
Yeah,
second.
sorry.
It was almost certainly my mistake.
I thought you would rather be
Almost certainly.
interrupted.
I'd
Everybody
love to
else,
blame it on you, but
everyone can talk amongst yourselves or go and put the kettle on or something for a minute.
not going to be that long. I'm going to be about hopefully about 10 seconds. Okay, here we go. We'll try that again. So, as I was saying, I'm reading from Mark chapter 11, well, 1 to 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. As he untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, whilst others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since he was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord.
Andrew, thank you very much. And thank you for being willing to make a change at the last minute. Here we are in Mark's Gospel, and the events of Palm Sunday are unfolding. Jesus ends up coming into the city on a donkey, and people are eager to greet him, throwing down their cloaks, waving branches, shouting greetings, and it's joyful and it's exciting and it's fun. This is what Jesus' disciples have been hoping for, that others would recognize the person that they themselves have recognized to be remarkable, to be a prophet, perhaps even to be the Messiah. And here they come in triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. In the rush of Mark's gospel, the word "immediately" appears so many times. It's not in this passage, but up until now, we've had Jesus immediately doing this, and then immediately, and then immediately. And it's really interesting because in Mark's gospel, the crowds shout, the palms are waved, the coats are thrown along the ground, and Jesus enters the city. And then he has a bit of time to look around. And then he goes out for the night to Bethany to stay with friends because it was already getting late. All the other gospels have the events that we think of as the passion narrative beginning immediately from this point. In John's gospel, Jesus enters triumphantly and walks straight into the temple and turns over the tables of the moneylenders. In Mark's account, it's slightly different. He has time to wander around. It almost sounds like he's a tourist in the city. It doesn't sound like he has hundreds of people following him at this point. He's just having a wander, he's having a look about, and then decides that it's late, heads off out of the city to the place where he is staying for presumably a meal, a sleep, some time with his friends. The very ordinary, very human needs of Jesus are fulfilled. Food, rest, prayer. Jesus lives at a human pace. And it's particularly striking that this is the case in Mark's gospel, which, as I said, up until this point has been this dramatic rush of immediately and immediately and immediately. There's a little pause here before the rest of the events of Jesus' passion unfold. Those of us who were part of the Lent book group that we just finished this week were reflecting on a book called The Merciful Humility of God. And in one of the chapters, the author wrote about the fallow time in Jesus' life. She was reflecting about Jesus' life before his public ministry began, which most people assume to have been about 30 years. And in that time, almost nothing is written about what Jesus is up to. And yet, this time, the author is suggesting, is not wasted. Jesus is doing the things that he needs to do to become the person that we meet in the Gospels, in the public ministry of Jesus. This suggests to me that God is not only interested in what we do, but in what kind of people we are becoming. It took Jesus a long time to become the kind of person who was going to be Jesus, who we know and we read about. And that is the case in a lot of stories in the Bible, that there are big gaps in people's lives, times of waiting, times where it doesn't necessarily look as if all that much is happening. To take Jesus' own image that we read about last week in John's gospel, he was speaking about a seed that must die and fall to the earth before it can bear much fruit. But in real life, there's a big gap between the seed being planted and the fruit being produced, there's a big gap. And for a lot of that time, you cannot see anything happening. All you can see is bare soil or eventually a tiny shoot. This is not an instant process. Growth takes time. And often when growth is happening, it doesn't look as if anything very interesting is happening. I think this pause in Jesus' journey towards Jerusalem and towards the events that are going to unfold over the coming days echo or foreshadow, if you like, Holy Saturday, the day between Jesus' death on the cross and between Easter morning. That is a day, it is a space, a lacuna in which nothing happens. It's a space for grief for Jesus' disciples and his friends. It's a day of business as usual for everyone else. It looks as if nothing is happening. I noticed this space in Mark's gospel this year, and I've never noticed it before, and I don't think that that is a coincidence, because for many of us, this last year that we have had has been a strange kind of gap or empty space or a time when it has not looked as if much useful or productive was happening. But growing things need time and they need space. I know that there are a great many gardeners among you who know this much better than I do, but growing things need time and they need space. Human beings need time and they need space for rest, for food, for friendship. We need space to think sometimes, and we need space to pray. Some parts of our culture want to push us toward the kind of competitive busyness where people only have value to the extent that they are busy, in demand, productive, exhausted. That's how you prove that you're worth something, that you're so busy that you don't even have time to sleep. But this is not the pace that Jesus lives at. He certainly did have times of busyness where the crowds pressed in, where all sorts of exciting things were happening around him, but that was not every day. And that's not the pace that Jesus asks his followers to live at either. Nobody can stay at that pitch of busyness all the time. We can't sustain it. Jesus lives at a human pace, a pace at which there is space to sleep, unless he's deliberately choosing to sacrifice sleep in favor of prayer. Space to eat, space to have deep relationships with others. Like any growing thing, relationships take time and they take space. Space to think. Some of us take longer about that than others. I'm married to someone who needs a lot of space to think. Jesus is a human being all the way to the end, all the way to the end of his story and beyond, actually. Because the risen Jesus is also still a human being, one who is recognizable to his friends, one whose physical body bears the marks of what he has just suffered. As we prepare to reflect on the story of Holy Week, as we walk with Jesus through the streets of Jerusalem, through his suffering and death, we are walking alongside a human man, a man who hurts, a man who thirsts, who experiences loss and betrayal and humiliation. Jesus is not a superhero. He doesn't have any magic up his sleeve that somehow makes all of this easier to bear. He's a real person. The love of God, making itself known in Jesus, is expressed in these events, in the weakness and frailty of one human body, powerless in the face of empire, of the massed hatred of the crowd, of the jealousy and fear of those with religious power to protect. This is profoundly mysterious, and familiarity with this story doesn't necessarily make it easier to understand. There's always another layer, there's always something else, some other depth to plumb, some other depth of God's love and mercy that is revealed with each retelling and each year that we live through this story. My encouragement for you this week is, as tempting as it is, let's not skip to the end. Let's make space and time, like Jesus does, to walk through this story at a human pace. Pay attention to all of the aspects. Let's make space for the story, the whole story of Easter, speak to each one of us here. We're going to take some time and some space now to reflect. We have some music to listen to. And again, as usual, it's if you want to pick up your Bible and have another look at the passage, it's Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Let's pray together. And at the end of this prayer, I'll press the magical button to allow you to unmute yourself so that we can say the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for those in power who act from fear and self-protection, who do not want to change or to see the log in their own eyes. May life reveal to them their narrow-mindedness and open them up to the power of love. We pray for those whose actions are misunderstood, and for women across our world whose gifts go unrecognized, who are considered second-class citizens in the places where they live, whose silence is often misinterpreted. May they all be helped to find their voice. We pray for the poor, that justice will come. We pray for those who get led astray by others who lead them on, or by their own self-righteousness, or because they are caught up in an ideology that promises freedom. Show them the way of love and community. We pray for those who know they have let their friends down, who in the heat of a moment defend themselves instead of a friend. May they learn from their mistakes and have people reassure them and set them on their feet again. We pray for those who are alongside someone else who is suffering and do not know what to say or do. May they be shown how to stay simply present. We pray for leaders who do not want to take responsibility for their actions, who knowingly wash their hands and allow others to act unjustly and in violence. May their actions be seen for what they are, and may the power of democracy be upheld. We pray for individuals we know who are facing pain, suffering, bereavement, or distress of any kind. May this story of Holy Week sustain them and bring them comfort, companionship, and hope. God of all creation, of all humanity, hold all things for us and with us, and keep on teaching us how to be people who birth peace and hope and love. And we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. By thine is the kingdom, our glory, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to mute everyone again as we have another song. We're going to sing Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. Hold on a second. Working.
Let's sing Ride On, Ride On in Majesty.
Oh,
Let's go into Holy Week, walking in the footsteps of Christ. May facing hard things allow transformation of your being, that Easter light may be born in you. And may the blessing of the God of light, creator, guide,